the moment you came to faith in Jesus Christ, God forgave your sins. He freed you from guilt, and he freed you from the condemnation of hell. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. That is the beginning of your salvation, but it is certainly not the end.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, it sounds like you're saying that salvation is a process.
Well, you know, the Bible speaks about salvation in three wonderful ways. I mean, it is an event. Mm-hmm. It is by grace that you have been saved. I mean, that's
past tense.
Past tense. It's done. It's accomplished. You're in Christ. There's no condemnation. Then there's a sense in which we are being saved. To us who are being saved, mm-hmm. The cross is the power of God. And then there is a future expectation of when we will be saved. So it's all three: event, process, and it's a future anticipation of all that's yet to be in the presence of Christ.
You know, so often I think we hear in our churches today, or Christians may buy into the fact that, okay, yes, I know my sins are forgiven, past tense. I know that one day I'm going to be in God's presence in heaven. But we don't totally understand this present tense.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we've often spoken on this program about the danger of perceiving the gospel as forgiveness for the past, heaven for the future, and a kind of black hole now.
Right.
It's the power of the Spirit of God to grow now. But what we're going to focus on particularly in the program today is that as we're growing and as we're going through all the struggles of the Christian life, there is a future anticipation of a day when all of that's going to be behind us and you're going to be in the presence of Jesus and the salvation that's been begun and is continuing through many, many difficulties now is going to be complete. And to get our eye on that is part of the encouragement for pressing forward today.
All right, well, let's press forward with today's message. We're in the book of Jude, the last couple verses there. So I hope you'll open your Bible and join us as we begin the message, Rest in God's Triumph. Here's Pastor Colin.
We come to the last of these seven workouts for a healthy Christian life. And we've been learning together that many of us make great efforts to keep ourselves in good physical shape, but we've been discovering that there are specific things that we also need to do if we're going to keep ourselves in good spiritual shape. Jude has been our coach, and we have identified these seven workouts for a healthy Christian life that come at the end of this little letter. And of course, what needs to be said at this point is that the important thing is not that you know them, but that you do them. I mean, I know press-ups. I know sit-ups. The issue is not knowing these things, it's doing them if you're going to keep yourself in spiritual shape. Let me give you this encouragement. As you do them, you will become better at them. And as you do them, you will grow through them. Remember when I was at college doing sit-ups in the gym? I thought I was doing pretty well, actually, because I'm not the biggest into that sort of thing. But I was rather discouraged that the guy next to me, who was a good friend, was doing exactly the same exercise with huge metal weights behind his head. That's kind of humiliating. But he started where I was starting. He persevered. And he grew in strength. And he grew in his ability in these things. Now, these are the things in which we are to grow. God says these are the things we're to do if we're to get ourselves in spiritual shape. And as you do them, you will grow in them and you will grow through them. So let me remind you of the workouts for a healthy Christian life. These things that we are to pursue. No matter what is going on around us. Number one, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Number two, pray in the Holy Spirit. Three, keep yourselves in God's love. Four, wait for Jesus Christ to bring you into everlasting life. Don't neglect the value of waiting in getting yourself into spiritual shape. And as you wait, give yourself to ministry. That's number five. And as you do that, watch yourself. Number six. And today we come to the seventh workout, or perhaps it would be better described as what we call the warm down after the workouts. My son tells me it's very important after you've worked out that you have a warm down, that there's a point where you settle yourself. And that's why I've called this one Rest in God's Triumph. Now, it's very important, as we mentioned last week, that we keep the last two workouts together in our minds. Resting in God's triumph, if you have not been watching yourself, is simply foolishness. Remember that last time we identified these last two workouts as being rather like two wheels in a bicycle. You need to remember them both, you need to have them both, and if you lose either one, you won't get far. You need to watch yourself, God says, because you live in this Christian life in the body, you live it in this world in which so easily be infected by corruption, the spirit of this world. But at the same time as you watch yourself, you also need to rest in God's triumph, because God is able to keep you from falling in this world. You are not alone. His spirit is at work within you, and he is able to present you, verse 24, before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. So keep these two wheels of truth within the framework of your understanding, because this is what God has revealed to us. Watch yourself. Because you do live this life in the body and you live in a world that has a corrupting influence. Watch yourself. But at the same time, rest in God's triumph. Your Savior is able to keep you through everything you face in this world. You can be both confident in him while you need to be careful as you live in this world. Be careful, be confident. Now, as we look at this confidence that we're able to have in Jesus Christ, let's focus in on verse 24 and verse 25. Notice that they're all about God. Verse 24, to him who is able to keep you from falling. So these verses that are our focus today are all about him. You notice that very clearly. They are about the glory of God. Now, notice that's important, because if you glance back to verse 20, you'll see that all that we've been saying in our series so far is about you. Notice verse 20. But you, dear friends. Jude has been talking about what you have to do, and now he switches our attention at the end of these exhortations to focus our mind and our hearts upon God. You, him. Notice that throughout this series, the emphasis has been on your responsibility. It's very important to understand that. Who is to pray in the Holy Spirit? You are. Who is to keep themselves in the love of God? You are. Who is to reach out in ministry, in mercy, and snatch people from the fire? You are. Who is to hate clothing that is stained by corrupted flesh? You are. Now, it is a great mistake, therefore, for anyone to say, oh, the Christian life is all up to God. That is quite unbiblical. God calls you to do these workouts. And if you do them, you will grow. And if you do not do them, you'll be like a spiritual couch potato. There's a lot of spiritual couch potatoes in the church, aren't there? Because we don't do the workouts. We sit back and we say, oh, well, you know, it's all up to God what I become. That's unbiblical. You. But after placing the responsibility for things that God has called us to do squarely upon our shoulders, Jude now wants to draw our attention towards God himself. Here are some things God calls you to do. God will not do them for you. So don't spend the whole of your Christian life waiting for God to do the thing that he's told you to do. But now, as you do the things that God has called you to do, as you give yourselves to these workouts, here's where you're to keep your confidence. Because your confidence isn't going to come from the fact that you're doing the workouts. Your confidence is going to come from God himself, to him who is able to keep you from falling, to him who is able to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we're going to focus on God today, who he is and what he'll do for you. First, who he is. Notice the phrase that Jude uses right in the center of this passage in verse 25 there. He describes the Lord as the only God, our Savior. Who is it that can keep you from falling? Who is it that can present you faultless in God's own immediate presence? Answer, verse 25, Jude says, I'm talking about the only God, our Savior. That is a wonderful phrase, isn't it, to relish. God, our Savior. God, our Savior. Now, the New Testament speaks specifically about the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Does this, in fact, on 16 occasions. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. To you in the town of David is born today a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The New Testament often refers to Jesus as the Savior. But Jude is reminding us of something else here. That the whole of God has given the whole of himself to save the whole of you. The Father has planned your salvation. The Son has purchased your salvation by his death on the cross. The Holy Spirit delivers or applies your salvation. The whole of God gives the whole of himself to save the whole of you. Now you say, that sounds like a theological point. What's its relevance? Here's its relevance. Some of us have the sneaking suspicion that part of God loves us, but part of God hates us. Some of us have the idea that part of God is for us, and that part of God is really actually against us. We believe that Jesus loves us because he died on the cross. But we have a sense somehow that God is reluctant about forgiving us, that he is essentially more concerned about justice and punishment than about opening the doors of everlasting life, and that if he does do this for any of us, he'll only open this creaking door reluctantly and only because Jesus, his Son, prevails upon him. Now, if you think about God like that, you will never be able to rejoice in God. Jude says there is only one God. He is revealed to us as Father and Son and Holy Spirit, but there is one God, and God is our Savior. That is why this one God made himself known to Abraham. That is why he brought his people out of Egypt. That is why David says in the Psalms, God, my Savior. That is why Habakkuk, the Old Testament prophet, says, I will rejoice in God, my Savior. This is why Jesus Christ came into the world, because this God is Savior, and he has taken our flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. The fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in our Lord. God is our Savior.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Rest in God's Triumph. It's part of a larger series called Keeping Yourself in Spiritual Shape, Seven Workouts for a Healthy Christian Life, as we take a look at the book of Jude. Now, we're pausing here, but we'll get back to this message in just a moment, so hope you'll stay with us. Well, Open the Bible is able to be on this station to make the podcast, the app, and other ministry tools available because of your financial generosity. We truly are listener-supported and cannot do what we do without your prayerful and financial support. You can give a gift online by coming to our website, openthebible.org, or by calling 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. Well, if you joined us a little bit late, we're in the book of Jude as we continue our message, Rest in God's Triumph. Again, here's Pastor Colin.
Now, there is a great deal of discussion today about the claims of different religions. Many people assume that the discussion is merely about how we come to God. You know how it's often put. You'll be familiar with this, I think, in many religious discussions. People tend to speak and think in this way. Well, there's one God. Everyone agrees about that. There's one God, but of course there are many different ways of coming to him. It's rather like one mountain. There are different paths up different sides, and all the religions represent different paths up the same mountain. And of course, whichever path you follow, and it'll depend largely where you're starting from, it will essentially lead you to the same point at the summit. We'll all meet there. Now, I want to suggest to you that the essential question that is being addressed in our culture today is not about how we come to God at all. The essential question is about who God is. And Jude says to us, and this is very important, there is only one God. Notice that phrase, the only God. There's no other. And the only God is our Savior. The only God who exists, the God who has created heaven and earth, the God who exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the Savior God. He always has been, he is, and he always will be. This is who God is. Now, in practical application, here's one place to go with that. When you find yourself in one of these discussions about religion and all different routes to God and so forth and so on, here's a good question for you to ask of a spiritually confused person. Tell me about how God saves you. That's a great question to ask. Tell me about how God saves you. Tell me about what God does for you. And let me tell you about what the God of the Bible does for me. Because the sad reality is that a great many people in our world today are actually following after idols that do nothing but make demands. And Jude's word is so powerful for us in evangelism today. There is one God, and the only God is our Savior. Isn't it marvelous to know the Savior God? The Savior God? Now, what does it mean for God to save us? Let me go through very simply three dimensions of God's saving work in a person's life. Number one, God is our Savior from sin's penalty. Now, this is a completed reality for anyone who is in Jesus Christ. The moment you came to faith in Jesus Christ, God forgave your sins. He freed you from guilt, and he freed you from the condemnation of hell. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. That is the beginning of your salvation, but it is certainly not the end. For our Savior God not only frees us from sin's penalty, secondly, the Bible makes clear that he frees us from sin's power. This is an ongoing process. And a lot of folks have become confused at this point. Sin is still our enemy. Sin is still powerful. I find myself every day struggling with the ways in which it tries to make inroads into my lives. We all do. But when you become a Christian, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible makes it very clear that you are no longer under sin's power. Sin shall not be your master, Paul says in Romans. That's chapter 6 and verse 14. He doesn't say sin will cease to be powerful. He doesn't say sin will no longer be your enemy. No, but he does say sin will no longer be your master. It's still dangerous, but it is no longer in a position of power over you. God has saved you from that. Now, let me try and offer an illustration that at least has helped me to grapple with this a little bit, because it's not easy to get hold of. How is it that we're released from the power of sin when we're still engaged in a struggle? Well, try and think of it perhaps like this. Before you came to Jesus Christ, you were a prisoner. Think of yourself as being like a prisoner of war in a dreadful cell with a cruel master, even a torturer. And your hands are tied and you are blindfolded. And whatever this cruel guard wishes to do with you, he can do with you because you are helpless. They may leave you alone for a long time and not be too hard on you, but you're still helpless. You are not in a position to resist the blows that rain in from him upon you. You're a prisoner. But now in Jesus Christ, the Bible is saying you are no longer sin's prisoner. God has come into the prison. He has taken off the blindfold. He has taken off the handcuffs. He's led you out of the prison. You are no longer sin's prisoner. Sin shall no longer be your master, right? Get the picture? Now the question is, when God takes you out of the cell and takes off the blindfold and unties your hands, where does he take you? Some of us have the idea he takes us into a sun lounge for the rest of our lives. That's not where he takes you. He leads you out of the cell, he takes the blindfold off, he takes the handcuffs off, and he says, here now is a gymnasium. And in the gymnasium, you see that there is a boxing ring. And he gives you the gloves, and he says, there, your hands are free. You are now empowered by my Holy Spirit. I want you to get in the ring. So you get in the ring, you sit down on the little stool, and there, to your absolute astonishment, in the opposite corner is the guard who beat you. Let me at him. Let me at him. Of course, he's still desperate to get at you. He's going to come out with all his fists flying. But you're not defenseless now. God puts you in a position to fight. That's the Christian life. Sin shall no longer be your master. You are now empowered by the Holy Spirit. Does that mean you're lying on a sun lounger for the rest of your life? No, you're in a battle. You can get hit. You need to watch yourself. You need to have your guard up. But you are in an entirely different position now in this lifelong battle. God puts you in a position to fight. Aren't you thankful for that? There's all the difference in the world. Before, as it were, you were in sin's power. If we personalize sin, as the Bible sometimes does, he could strike you at will. There was nothing you could do about it. You couldn't lay a hand on him back. But now you're in a different position. He saves you not only from the penalty of sin, but he delivers you from the power of sin by putting you in a position to fight.
Well, unfortunately, we do have to hit the pause button right there, but we'll continue this message, Rest in God's Triumph, next time here on Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. Our message is part of a larger series called Keeping Yourself in Spiritual Shape, 7 Workouts for a Healthy Christian Life. You know, if you want to be growing in your faith, it's going to take some work, but it will be worth every bit of the effort. In this series, Pastor Colin is giving us 7 spiritual workouts from the book of Jude, and together, they'll help you get your spiritual life into shape. So if you want a copy of this series, Keeping Yourself in Spiritual Shape, call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or you'll find ordering information at our website, openthebible.org. Well, one of the things that my family and I love to do is to go hiking. And Colin, I think it would be a lot of fun to go on a hike with you. And right now, we have an opportunity for listeners to join you on a hike.
Yes, I am inviting you to join me on a hike through the Bible. And it is going to be a gentle, easy pace of a hike. Each week, you'll read a chapter of the Bible and a chapter of my book, Hike Through the Bible. And in 1 year, you'll have read 50 chapters of the Bible. You'll have grasped the big picture of the Bible story. And most of all, you'll have grown in your love for Jesus Christ. Now, there's a Hike Through the Bible podcast to help you on this journey. In each episode, I read a chapter of the book and then I discuss it with some friends. So get started now. You can subscribe to the Hike Through the Bible podcast for free wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll find more information at openthebible.org/hike. That's openthebible.org/hike.
Well, thank you, Colin. I think a lot of us are going to enjoy taking that hike with you. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Hi, this is Pastor Colin again, and I want you to know about Watch Your Life. Watch Your Life is a 6-session course that is geared for leaders but accessible to every believer. The 6 sessions will show you how to grow in godliness, how to feed on Christ, how to pray in the Spirit, how to battle temptation, exercise faith, and discern God's will. There are questions at the end of each session, and you can use them on your own or you can discuss them with a friend. For more information, visit openthebible.org/courses. That's openthebible.org/courses.